Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those who don't know me yet, I am a co-founder and the chief content officer for Copyblogger Media. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. And I just wanted to let you know that the Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer are brought to you by Authority Rainmaker. Authority Rainmaker is a live educational experience. It presents a complete, effective online marketing strategy that helps you immediately accelerate your business. And Sean joined us last year, and he's going to be joining us this year, which I'm really looking forward to. So if you do want more details on that, you can head over to rainmaker.fm/event. So, Sean D'Souza is my guest today. He runs the website Psychotactics, which is an intriguing site, psychotactics.com. I encourage you to go investigate that. Sean, great to have you here today.
Well, it's great to be here. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to hear your voice too. I haven't really spoken to you other than in text since we saw each other last May, so good to talk with you. So, today, Sean and I are going to talk about the topic of talent. And Sean, I know that you have been chewing on this theme and this idea for a long time, and you have a lot of thoughts on talent. And I really wanted to start to draw at least a few of those out today. So do you want to start just by talking about why, what got you so fascinated with this idea of talent, this topic of talent?
You probably know that I draw cartoons, and I often draw cartoons in public, as in I'm sitting at a cafe and drawing a cartoon. And people will come up to you and say, oh, you're so talented. Mm. And at first, it used to flatter me, but over time, it started to irritate me because I would say, oh, you can do it too. And they go, no, I'm not that talented. And so the problem that I have, and I classify it as a problem, is that I'm very good at dancing and cooking and drawing and writing and speaking. And I can pretty much throw myself at anything except putting up a picture on the wall, and I get talented at it. And other people seem to think that they're not talented, that somehow they have to be born with that stuff. And that's the part that started to irritate me. So what I had to do was I couldn't just go out there and say, you know, it's easy to acquire talent. It's easy to get talented, because people would say, no. You look at that guy in school. He was so much better than me in maths, or math as you call it in the US. Mm. Even Jim Collins, who wrote the book Good to Great, he talks about people who are kind of genetically encoded to doing better in math than he was. So to me, that was very frustrating. And so the only way I could prove that was to say, okay, let's go to a cafe, any cafe. You choose it. You pick 20 people from the room, and in 6 months, I will make them do something that I know that they cannot do. And that one thing was cartooning. I mean, you can get people who are good in math, good in writing, good in lots of stuff. But you can go to any cafe and say to them, how many of you can draw really good cartoons? No hands go up.
Right.
So that's what I started. That was one of the things I thought, if I can teach people how to do something that almost everyone on the planet says they cannot do, well, now we can prove other things from there. That was the starting point. The starting point was really my frustration with people calling me talented and believing that they didn't have that talent.
Yeah. And you have a wonderful observation about children that I heard you share years and years ago, and I immediately forgot who I heard it from and have been repeating it ever since. But I love this observation. Do you want to share that with people?
Yes. It's like this. It's when you go into a school, anywhere on the planet, and I like these, you know, things which are universal rather than, okay, this only belongs to Virginia or this only belongs to Auckland. Yeah. But you can go to any school on the planet. And if the kids are under 5 and you say, or approximately 5 years old, and you say, how many of you can draw? And almost across the planet, you will find that all the hands go up. Everyone's hands go up. And you ask the same people when they're 10, how many of you are good at drawing? And almost none of the people in the class, none of the kids in the class say that they're good at drawing. Now, that's only half the story. The next part of the story is even more interesting. If you went to that same class when they were five and said, how many of you are good at English? How many of you are good in math? How many of you are good at geometry? And no hands go up. And then you go to the same class when they're at 10 and you'll find quite a substantial number of hands going up. So what happened? What happened from the age of 5 to 10? And that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. How did they get bad at drawing? How did they get better at math and English and geometry?
Mm-hmm.
So what's really happening between the age of 5 and 10 is that you're actually learning stuff. And you're learning it in a constructive way. You're learning it in a way that enables you to improve. And you have teachers, you have encouragement, you have people at home. And what's happening is you're acquiring a talent. You're acquiring a language. Geometry is a language. English is a language. And art is a language. And when that gets dropped, then the brain does what it's supposed to do. It says, this is not relevant to me. And so it stops. It stops. I mean, if you look at lemurs, you know, most of us don't think of lemurs. But scientists have done tests on kids and lemurs. And a kid that is just, a year old can spot one lemur from another one. Six-month-old kids can spot, they can say that lemur is, they can't say it, but what they do is they measure the attention span. And as soon as the second lemur comes along, they go, oh, that's a different lemur. Let me look at it. That's a third lemur. Let me go look at that. But when the first lemur comes along, they go, oh, I've seen that one before. You have anything new for me? So the attention span drops. And you think, well, I don't have that skill. I can't tell one lemur from another. But the skill isn't lost. Certain skills are there right from the start. And certain skills have to be learned. And so that skill, you look at all the people who spot whales and dolphins and stuff. They can tell. They can say, hey, that dolphin, you know, that's the name for this dolphin. And they know 300 dolphins. It's a skill. I mean,
it's a skill.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. Certain skills are inherent in you. Photoshop is not one of those things, you know, because.
Although it feels that way to me, but I get what you. I agree.
Because in the big scheme of things, the brain, it uses up an enormous amount of energy. So you have to understand that it's 2% of your body mass, and it uses up 25% of the energy. So the brain is built to be lazy. The brain is built to be efficient. Anything that is difficult, the brain tries to drop. Anything that's not usable, like lemur spotting, is not valid for the brain anymore. So it drops it. And anything that you say, well, I have to learn how to ride this bicycle or I will not get to school. Now it's important for the brain. So it learns that. And that's really what talent is all about. It's about learning a language, learning a skill. And like any language, there are enormous amounts of difficulties.
Yeah, and I know that you get frustrated about some of the misunderstandings people have around talent. What do you think are the really, you know, what are the misunderstandings and misapprehensions around talent that really make you sad for people or angry or frustrated?
Well, the first thing is definitely that it's inborn. It is, most talents are based on the generation that you live in. So for instance, most of us know how to use a computer. Well, you go back 100 years or 50 years and people would not know how to use a computer. But today, every kid going to school knows how to use a computer.
Yep.
So effectively, when you say, hang on, I learned how to use a computer, but that's not really a talent. Effectively, what we're saying is that if everyone can do it, it's not a talent.
Right, right.
If you can play music better than me, then you have a talent. But if everyone can play music, that's not a talent. So if you can speak English, that's a talent. Of course it is a talent. To someone speaking Mandarin, wow, you can speak English? That's amazing, right? And this is the problem. The problem is that we believe that it has to be inborn, that we were born with an accent, we were born with a language. We know that's not true.
Yeah, and I have a real frustration with this in the realm of business, that I hear people, typically people who don't own businesses or don't run businesses, who say, well, you can't learn You can't learn marketing. You can't learn business. You can't learn selling. That's just a gene. You either have that entrepreneurial gene or you don't have it. I would be interested to hear your take on that because I'm suspecting you have a similar take to mine on that topic.
Yep. When I grew up in a business-oriented family. My parents ran their own business. Most of my uncles, and I have six of them, ran their own business. So here's how I learned business. I would go to my father's institute. He used to run a secretarial college. And I would sit there and eat and drink and read comics. And you think, what did you learn doing that? The thing is that when you're around people, when they're talking, that stuff isn't going over your head all the time. A lot of it is going in your head. So they do certain things. They act certain ways. They get into certain messes and they fail. And you learn from all of that stuff. So if you take someone who's been in a job-oriented business, you know, their parents have been job-oriented, they have been job-oriented, it's very difficult to break out of that. So what they haven't learned is the language of business. And when you spend enough time in the business, you learn it. Let me give you a simple example. When I ask my niece to paint a sky, it's different from the sky that you would paint. If I asked you what was the color of the sky, you'd say it was blue. But that's not true. The color of the sky is blue at the right at the top. It's blue and yellow ochre in the middle, and usually about yellow ochre or pink at the bottom, depending on the time of day. Now, if my niece were to paint a sky, some teacher would go up to her and say, wow, that's a great sky. I mean, that is so different from everybody else's sky. And where did you learn it? And she has no recollection because she learned it when she was 7 years old. And now she's 11 and she has no recollection. And that's what happens in business as well. You pick up all these things along the way and then you don't remember where you picked it up. And then when everyone starts telling you, hey, you're so talented, you think, yeah, I must be.
I love it. That's awesome. So I know I've heard you talk about people confusing personality and talent. And I would love to hear you unpack that a little more and talk about what that means.
When I first started trying to figure out why people get so stuck on talent, I kind of was mixing up personality and talent. And personality is kind of inborn. I've seen this with my nieces because we didn't have any kids. My nieces, they have completely different personalities, as do all animals and humans and stuff. And one is driven to behave in a certain way. Like my younger niece, Kara, she's more likely to listen to something if there's lots of movement involved. And Marcia, on the other hand, you can sit there at the same table for 3 hours and it doesn't bother her in the slightest bit. And the point is that they are trained to learn something. Everyone is kind of put into Marcia's box, which is now you sit at the table, you sit at the desk, and you learn this stuff. And you sit in school and you learn this stuff. And so when you don't cater to the personality, if you find that people are not responding to whatever you're doing or whatever you're teaching them, it's probably because you're not actually catering for their personality, which is totally different from, oh, this person is really stupid. Because I don't actually believe in bad students. I believe there are bad teachers. And we'll get into that. But that's the difference between personality and talent, that talent can be acquired if you switch it or cater it for that personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really good observation. Now, a lot of people who talk about this difference between talent and practice reference the 10,000 hours model. You have to spend 10,000 hours to get really good at something. Is that what you're talking about when you talk about acquiring talent?
10,000 hours is a nice figure, and that's why people love it. I mean, it's just, two kinds of people like it, or rather two people refer to it. One that haven't completed the 10,000 hours and the others who have. And the ones who have, you know, they go, yeah, I did 10,000 hours. Well, you can go 10,000 hours in the wrong direction. So 10,000 hours doesn't qualify at all. So what's really happening in the 10,000 hours? All the really good people, the ones that you know of, they have done 10,000 hours. But also the bad people who've gone nowhere, they've also done 10,000 hours. And so the first thing we don't see is this qualification. Secondly, even if we were to examine, you know, like say someone like John Mayer, he's really good on the guitar, say Eric Clapton, or just about anyone that you consider to be talented, and you will find that enormous number of hours were spent making mistakes. And these are mistakes that people didn't know they were making. So when I was learning to draw, for instance, I was at one point in time, one of my friends, Howie, he said, your drawings are all flat. And I'm going, what do you mean by flat? And then I had to figure out that I was making this mistake. Now, I'd been making this mistake for, I don't know, 5,000 hours. Right. I didn't know that. But if I knew the mistakes, then I could have fixed them. And this is why you can fly a plane in, I don't know, I think you can fly a commercial aircraft in 1,500 hours. You could go to an academy and learn, and you could, now you won't get a job in 1,500 hours because no airline is going to hire you. But the point is you can get on one of the jumbo jets, the Airbus, and you can fly them after 1,500 hours. So the thing that you've got to understand is that, first of all, you don't need the 10,000 hours if you're on a simulator. So the question is, how do we find this simulator? Because if we, the reason why pilots can go from zero to flying a jet aircraft, which is extremely difficult, especially when you're taking off and landing, it's extremely difficult. You know, sometimes in the movies they say, oh, we'll get the control tower to guide you in. No, you can't land a plane. You crash it every time. So what's really happening there? They're going on a simulator. And the simulator is getting those mistakes out of the way. And really, when you define talent, that's what talent is. Talent is a reduction of errors. So when you look at driving, you make all the errors. And then when you get rid of most of the errors, you can drive. When you're learning to ride a bicycle, you have balance issues, you have space issues, you have all kinds of issues. When you reduce the errors, you can ride a bicycle. Now, some skills are not as simple as riding a bike or driving a car. And you may say, what's so difficult about driving a car? Well, it is not difficult in reality, but something like painting requires a lot of subjective stuff. And so you've got to do a lot more. It's more of a language than driving a car, where a lot of it is automated. And that's the difference. Right. The difference is that, A, you don't know the mistakes you're making. And if you don't know the mistakes you're making, you can't fix them quickly enough, and you're stuck. You're basically wasting a lot of hours. Now, when you're young, that's fine. But when you're older, that seems like a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, how do people avoid getting stuck? How do they move ahead? You know, if they have something they want to do in life, maybe it is start a business or run their business better or paint or sing or play basketball, how do they avoid getting stuck in some of these traps?
Well, the first thing is that you cannot believe that talent is inborn, because, you know, you have terms like white man can't dance. Well, it's not it's not true. Say you want to learn the jive. A lot of the dancing is not in the feet. It's in the hands. It's in the way you get the grip. That's where it is. You know, you learn to play badminton, for instance. A lot of it is not in the smashes, but how you learn how to smash so that the opponent goes back instead of staying in front. So a lot of it has nothing to do with what you think is important. The reason why people go off track is they believe that it's inborn. And the first thing that you have to do is you have to stop believing that talent is inborn, because it's like a prison, right? Supposing you have only two talents and I have 10 talents. Well, you're stuck for the rest of your life. You have those two, and it's like, no, can't do anything. So might as well just be a stupid person for the rest of my life. That's not much of a choice.
Yeah.
So stop believing is the first step.
Now, I know you talked about that you don't believe there are bad students. You believe there are bad teachers or teachers who are not, you know, skillful. Do you want to talk about that? Do you want to talk about matching up of teachers and students?
Right. A lot of students believe that they are not talented. And I can show you, for instance, how to multiply any number by 11 in 1 second. Okay. So supposing you were 7 years old and you went to school and you stood up in front and said, okay, throw any double digit number at me and multiply it by 11. And it's very simple, actually. You just say you say 22 by 11, you add the 2 and 2, which is 4, and you put it in the middle. So it's 2, 4, 2. Now, it's a little hard when you first start, but you can do any two-digit number by 11, and people look at you like, wow, you're a genius at math. But you're not.
Right.
You're using a system. So what happened was someone deciphered that system. Someone rooted out the mistakes that you can make, and that is a teacher. So when you get a teacher that has got rid of the mistakes, then everything is easy. So for instance, Photoshop is very hard. Well, I'm right now doing a Photoshop course where I'm teaching people how to color in Photoshop. And they've spent a year or more trying to learn to color. In 2 weeks, you cannot tell who's done the work, me or them, in 2 weeks. Mm. So effectively, and this is where I learned from this guy called Michel Thomas. He used to teach languages. He used to teach, you could teach you French in 10 hours, you know, the stuff that you needed in French. So his concept was that the responsibility lies with the teacher. There is no such thing as a bad student. And when you take that into consideration, what you have to do is then find the right teacher who has the right system and then puts you in the right group.
Mm-hmm. And another one of those quotes that I heard from you early on and then for a couple of years forgot it was you I heard it from is the proverb about groups. Do you want to share that?
Yeah, well, the proverb goes like this. It comes from Africa, actually. And it says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go with a group.
Yeah.
And a group is incredibly important when you're training someone and when you're learning. Right now, we're doing an article writing course. The group holds everyone together. The reason why the group is so important is because of how we are wired as human beings. We don't want to let the group down.
Right.
And that's very important. So we show up every day. And when we show up every day, we acquire a little bit more of that talent and then a little bit more. But the second thing that we see is that we are not alone with making mistakes. So a lot of us think that we're stupid, that we are not able to figure out stuff. And then when we see everyone making their own mistakes, we think, wow, that's amazing. Now, that's not how school works. In school, you sit down, you answer your test, it goes to the teacher, it comes back to you. No one sees your mistakes. So you don't learn from the mistakes. So a critical part of talent is knowing the mistake.
I want to wrap this up today just to keep things kind of short and sweet for now. But I want to encourage the audience, if this is a topic that interests you and you want to hear us talk more about talent, because it's a big topic. And trust me, Sean has a lot of thoughts. He's an opinionated person and I'm an opinionated person. I think that's why I like him. But he has a lot to share with you on this. So if this is a topic you want to hear more about, just drop a comment in this episode and we will put some more time on the schedule because I find it fascinating and I really like talking to Sean about it because he's just put in a lot of time thinking about this topic, a lot of practice. The Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer have been brought to you today by Authority Rainmaker. Authority Rainmaker is a live educational experience, and it presents a complete, effective online marketing strategy that helps you immediately accelerate your business. So don't miss the opportunity to see Dan Pink, Sally Hogshead, punk legend Henry Rollins, and a lot of other super smart speakers live, including Sean, who is going to be there. It's going to be a real delight to see him again. Not to mention the secret sauce of it all, which is building real-world relationships with the other attendees. And I personally would really love to connect with you there. So you can grab the details on that at rainmaker.fm/event. And we look forward to seeing you in Denver, Colorado this May. That's rainmaker.fm/event. So Sean, thank you so much. This was a really, this was just such an interesting conversation. I love talking with you about this.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure. It's always a pleasure.
Really good talking with you. Thank you, everybody. And do drop a comment if you want to hear more from Sean and I about this topic of talent and how to develop it and how to move further with it. Thank you so much. These are the Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer.